Linda and I do not get out to the movies that often. Our schedules are so busy, it's hard to find the time. But occasionally we will watch a movie at home on pay-per-view. And last week there were a lot of good choices. We could have watched Fences, Hidden Figures, Manchester by the Sea, Hacksaw Ridge, Florence Foster Jenkins. All those were nominated for Academy Awards. But the movie we chose to watch was the movie that won Best Picture in the Academy Awards, Moonlight. And after the movie was over, Linda and I had a very spirited discussion about whether it was really the best picture of the year or not. She liked it more than I did. We both agreed the movie was very well made. The production values were outstanding. But we disagreed about whether it was a story worth telling. I thought the movie was kind of a downer, but Linda found some redeeming value in it. I don't want to prejudge it for you. If you want to watch it, I think it's a good movie to watch. And I don't want to give away too much of it, so this is a spoiler alert. I'm going to tell a little bit about the movie. The movie centers around a boy growing up in an impoverished and drug-infested neighborhood in Miami. His name is Chiron, and his mother's a crack addict. You can see it's kind of a downer theme already. The movie opens with Chiron running with a backpack on his back as fast as he can. He's being chased by a group of other boys. He's on his way home from school, and as a parent, he's fearful for what the boys will do to him if they catch him. So he ducks into an abandoned motel, which functions as a crack house, and he hides in the dark in one of the empty rooms. Eventually, and ironically, Chiron is rescued by the neighborhood crack dealer named Juan. And even more ironically, Juan becomes his mentor, providing a place for him to stay if he needs it, of food, teaching him how to swim, and even giving him advice about life. See what I mean about ironically? A crack dealer giving a young boy advice about life. Well, after the movie began, I started wondering, why are those boys chasing Chiron? What's he done to make them so mad? At first, I thought it was just because he was a little guy. In fact, they gave him the nickname Little. Imagine a boy given the nickname Little. And then I came to understand it was more than that. They called him derogatory names because of the way he walked and his other mannerisms. And as Chiron grows in the course of the movie, the bullying becomes even more intense. In fact, there's a heart-wrenching scene when he's attacked brutally in the schoolyard. He's beaten and then he's stomped. It's hard to watch. As the song says, people can be so cruel. Well, people could be cruel in Jesus' time. And they were especially cruel toward lepers, people afflicted with a skin disease. Not only was leprosy a dreaded disease, it was also a cause for people to be shunned, to be outcast, to become undesirables. Lepers were not allowed to associate with regular people, with good people. Lepers had to keep off by themselves. They were simply less than human as far as the others were concerned. I've been thinking about the way we treat people today. And it occurs to me that there are some categories of people even today that are like modern-day lepers. They're undesirable. We want them to stay away. For example, some religious minorities, some racial minorities, some people of a different sexual orientation, and especially immigrants are like modern-day lepers in many parts of our society even today. Let me give you some examples. In the last 2 months, dozens of Jewish institutions, synagogues, community centers, Jewish schools have received bomb threats. According to the National Council of Churches, there have been 67 incidents affecting 58 Jewish institutions in 27 states and one Canadian province in the last 2 months. You may also have heard about vandalism in Jewish cemeteries. Last week, a cemetery in Missouri was desecrated. Tombstones were overturned. Racist graffiti written on grave markers. Anti-Semitism in our country is on the rise. You're not surprised that there's also been an increase in violence and intimidation against Islamic institutions, mosques and schools and Islamic community centers. For example, an Islamic mosque in Northern Virginia received a bomb threat on the voicemail last week. They also received in the mail a flyer with a crude picture of a pig and with the words, "Kill all Muslims." This same Islamic mosque in Northern Virginia last week had a homeless person, apparently a homeless person, with an expensive camera taking pictures of worshipers as they came to pray. Now, eventually, this homeless person was escorted by security off the premises, but they never found out why he was taking pictures of worshipers as they came to pray. And so the rise of intolerance and bigotry has become almost normalized in our society. Another example, in northern Georgia last week, a prominent building in downtown was displaying a banner that said Ku Klux Klan and Confederate flags posted on the corners of the building. Now, the owner of the building said the KKK banner was simply a historical marker, but community leaders said it was intended to intimidate African Americans in the community. Another example about the way that certain segments of our society are treated, the lesbian and gay community, transgender community. We know that discrimination and prejudice is rising against that segment of the population. There's a movie theater in Alabama that refuses to show the new Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast, because it features a gay character. So they're not going to show the movie. And we've heard about the other attacks upon the LGBTQ community. Perhaps the most pervasive discrimination and prejudice is against immigrants. Many instances of immigrants being attacked or harassed. Last month there was a tragic shooting in Kansas of an engineer from India who was shot and killed, presumably because they thought he was from the Middle East. The assailant said, "Get out of my country," before he shot and killed this engineer from India. And then this month, near Seattle, a masked assailant attacked a Sikh man, S-I-K-H, a Sikh man, with the same type of message, "Go back to your own country." This past Monday, at the University of Maryland, some flyers were posted at various points. Here's a picture of the flyer that was posted. "Notice to all white Americans, it is your civic duty to report any and all illegal aliens." And then that's at the bottom, "America is a white nation." This was at the University of Maryland, College Park, on campus. Three different locations this flyer was posted. Also posted at George Washington University this past week. And at the bottom, there's a website for a white supremacy group. According to the Anti-Defamation League, this has happened over 100 times this academic year in universities all over the country, this posting of flyers against immigrants. We live in a time when there is increasing hostility toward various groups. A time when it seems to be okay to be intolerant and to be bigoted. A time in which groups are demonized just because of who they are. There are many modern-day lepers in our society today. And so we come back to the scripture that we read a few moments ago about Jesus and the leper. Unlike most people of Jesus' day, Jesus did not send the leper away. Jesus welcomed him. The man begged Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Notice he didn't say, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me well. Lord, if you choose, you can heal me." He said, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Of course he wanted to be well. Of course he wanted to be healed. Of course he wanted to be relieved of the disease of leprosy. But even more, he wanted that stigma that had been attached to him to be removed. He was considered unclean. He was undesirable. He was an outcast. Nobody wanted him around. He said, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. You can remove that stigma of my disease and allow me to be accepted back into the community." Well, Jesus said, "I do choose." And Jesus reached at his hand and touched him. This is almost shocking. I mean, people hated lepers. It was the fear of contagion, but it was also the fear of being defiled. They were considered so impure that to even allow them around would pollute the whole community. Nobody in his right mind would ever willingly touch a leper. And yet Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." And then knowing the only way that he would be accepted back in the community was to go through the rituals that were prescribed in the law, Jesus sent him to the priest so that he could show himself to the priest. He could offer a sacrifice, an offering for his cleansing, and then he would be given permission to re-enter the community, to become a regular person again instead of an undesirable and an outcast. Now, what does this example of Jesus say to us about how we are to treat people today? Now, I know most of you are not intolerant. In fact, I dare say none of you are. I suspect there are no bigots in our congregation. I know that we have a loving church family who is accepting of everyone. But the world is not like our church. Society is not like our church. We live in a society where bigotry is accepted, where intolerance has become normal, where people are categorized and ostracized and set apart because of who they are. And do we not have a role to play as followers of Jesus Christ in showing the love of God to all people? This past week, as you know, our church was an emergency homeless shelter. We had staying in our building every night, 13, 14, 15, 16, as many as 18 people staying here every night. And they stayed here because they had nowhere else to go. The weather was bad part of the week. I mean, it'd be terrible to try to be outside with the cold or snowy weather that we had. The shelters that the county runs were all full. There was literally no other place to go but to take refuge here in our church building. And to be honest about it, our church is not really set up to be a homeless shelter. We don't have laundry facilities. We don't have shower facilities. We don't have separate rooms for everybody where they can have a little bit of privacy. Basically, everybody had to stay together. Tuesday night, they were supposed to go out for showers to a community center, but because of the weather, they couldn't go out. Wednesday night, they did go out to do laundry. Thursday night, a group did go out and take showers on Thursday evening. But can you imagine how difficult it is to live basically for a week in a church building without laundry facilities, without shower facilities, without any kind of privacy in terms of sleeping areas? It really made me realize that being a homeless person is difficult. I mean, just trying to stay warm, trying to stay dry, trying to stay clean is a real challenge. Also made me realize that something's wrong in our society where people have to take refuge in a church building. Among those here this week were two single fathers with their 11-year-old sons, a single mother with a 14-year-old daughter and a toddler 18 months old, another single mother with a 4-month-old child. Now you tell me what's right about that. Children having no place to go and sleeping in a church. Somehow we've got to change the perception. The homeless people are like modern-day lepers. Nobody wants them around. We want them to kind of stay away. We want to keep them out of sight, out of mind. Somehow we need to change the perception of who these people are, as with those other categories of those people that are considered undesirable. Because the truth of the matter is, none of us is clean. We're all stained by sin. And yet, Jesus came to make us clean. Jesus came to wash away our sin. Who can wash away our sin? No one but the blood of Jesus. Who can make us pure within? No one but the blood of Jesus. Jesus came for us and for them and for all God's children. For you see, in Jesus' sight, there are no undesirables. For Jesus, we are all precious. We are all loved. And Jesus came to make all of us clean. He came to restore us to community with God and restore us to community with one another. May Jesus help us to love each other too. Our Father, we confess that we live in a society that is too often characterized by hatred, by suspicion, by mistrust, by discrimination and prejudice, by cruelty. Too often around us there are signs of intolerance and bigotry, and we just kind of act as if that's the way things are. We thank you that here in the church we can love each other and accept each other and be there for each other. And we pray that you would help us to go beyond what we do here in church to the larger society around us. Help us to recognize that we have a role to play to combat the intolerance and the bigotry and the hatred and the violence and all that which is keeping people at arm's length and keeping people feeling like outcasts and undesirables. And you can show us ways that we can express the love of Jesus, yes, here in church, of course, but even in the larger world around us, the world outside the church. May we never be content to let the world go on as it is, but rather may we see that vision of Jesus that helps us to recognize that you cherish and value all persons, that every person is precious in your sight, and that Jesus came to make all of us clean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a closing hymn. And as we do every Sunday, we offer you the opportunity to respond. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never received the cleansing that His sacrifice offers, the forgiveness, the salvation, the gift of eternal life, we offer you the chance this morning to profess your faith in Jesus and follow Him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you've made that commitment to Christ, you're a Christian, you're seeking to follow Him, but you're not a part of this church family. You want to unite with us as we seek to serve God together in this place. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 519, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide upon us all, now and forever. Amen.